All right, well, good morning, church. It is about that time this morning for us to worship together. As you can see, Alex is not here, but he will be back soon. But nevertheless, we will still worship together. So let's stand and sing.
If I haven't met you yet, my name is Blake Haynes, and I'm new here at Redeemer. I am the new facilities manager, just hired on by Pastor Forrest. And so I've been here for a couple weeks, been really excited to be here to manage the facility. There's a lot to manage, but it's been good, and it's been really nice to meet some of you guys. Everyone's been so kind, so friendly, so welcoming to me and to my girlfriend Courtney, and we're just really glad to be here. So I want to say on behalf of the church, welcome this morning. And if you're joining us online, welcome. We've got a few announcements here. We've got the Mission Leadership Team, MLT, is kicking off our Mission Summer 2025 fundraising campaign. So for the next two Sundays, well, this Sunday and the next, June 8th and 15th, we will be taking donations for John Stogner's summer service to WOL Hungry Summer Camps, scholarships for campers, and candy. Please consider giving today. The next announcement is our annual meeting will be June 22nd, 2025, after our services. And we will be having a celebration of ministry gathering after the meeting. It'll be in the fellowship hall with a catered meal, fellowship, and the opportunity to praise God for the things He has done. So you don't want to miss that. That's the annual meeting on June 22nd. And then there's nominee bios, and those are available in the foyer at the welcome desk, and they're for your review in preparation for our annual business meeting, where we will be voting on the election of officers. And the last thing pertinent to this hour, there is a Bible study. Alan Sandlin's Grow Hour class meets at 9:30 in room 202. where he will be teaching from the book of James. So if you'd like to join in with that fellowship, that happens at 9:30 before this service. So those are our announcements. And once again, glad to be here. Thank you for welcoming me, and happy to worship with you this morning.
Okay, I just wanted to give a short update on our fiscal, where we're at with our fiscal year. And so just so you guys know, like some people worry about the pastor when a baby cries, but that is a sweet, sweet sound in my ear. So if it annoys you, plug your ears, because I think it's awesome. So that's Salem. And so if you wanna go say hi to Salem after the service or during the meet and greet, go ahead. She's a cutie. And we got a bunch of babies running around this place. So that's awesome. Okay, but anyways, back to our fiscal year. So our fiscal year ends at the end of June. So we are trying to get ourselves as caught up as we can by the end of this month. So our total contributions are listed there in your bulletin. And then also our total budget is also listed there. So what we're trying to do is get up to that amount if we as close as we can. Some people have asked about an update on the sewer drain in the women's bathroom. So we're needing to replace the sewer from the bathroom all the way out to the street. That project will cost us about $17,000, and we have raised around $3,000. So we're hoping in the next week or two we'll have some more money come in, but I'm just giving you an update on where we're at with that. So encourage you, if you call this church your home, please be faithful and generous in your giving to the ministry of this church. That's all the announcements that I have. You're up. Or giving, whatever.
Thank you, Forrest. All right, let's continue to worship together.
The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Brings our chaos.
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who I am. perfect in all your ways.
Perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Sing this one more time together. Just telling God who he is.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I am loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I just thank you for this time of worship together. As we sing who you are, may those characteristics, just those pieces of praise, those aspects of your perfect character, may they not just be words that are coming out of our mouths, but may they sink down into our hearts and allow us to live a life more attuned to your will. God, in these next moments, as Pastor Forrest speaks, I just pray that your spirit would work within this church, that may our hearts be attuned to what he has to say and allow the spirit to guide Forrest to speak your truth. May these words that we hear and that we say not just be in one ear and out the other, but may they really change what we do as we continue to try to be more and more like your son. And it's in his name and by your spirit we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you would, welcome the people around you. Just tell them your name and get their name. And here's the question for this week. What is the oldest tool, appliance, or item that you still use? And you can't say your body, because that's probably the oldest thing. But what's the tool or item or appliance you still use? Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Hungary, And there's a campground there called the Word of Life Campground there in Hungary, which is where I was at the whole time, and we're just teaching a class. And on the campus, some of you may have been on the campus of Word of Life Hungary, but some of you may not. So I'm just going to let you know. On the campus, there's a centerpiece of the campus, and it is a castle. And it's a beautiful, beautiful building. It's a gorgeous building. It's very old, 130 years old. And they have a lot of offices. They have their offices there. The place where you eat, cafeteria, is there, and some housing places are there. And it's a beautiful, beautiful building. As you walk around the building, the way that the building is laid out is kind of a history lesson on the way that things used to be, way that people used to live. The hallways kind of wind a little bit, and there's just the way that things used to be is kind of the way that is set up. You can kind of see this is the way that people used to live. And you look at some of the materials in the building, and you see, that's kind of the way buildings used to be built. They have these really tall windows that are single pane, and you know they don't hold a lot of air, they don't hold a lot of heat in or air in or anything like that. And so it's kind of an older thing, but you can say, I can see that's the way things used to be, or that's the way the buildings used to be built. And so one of the things, as I lived in that castle for a week, one of the things I walked away from is this is a really beautiful building, but I would not want to live here. It was a fascinating place to look, but it didn't have a lot of the modern amenities that we've come to know and be used to here in our time period. This castle was built 130 some years ago, and it was built according to the way that the structures were used then. But today we have different things like air conditioning and hot water and different things like that wasn't going on back then. And so it's a beautiful thing to look at, but it's not a place I would want to live. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to use the illustration of the castle, my experience in the castle. I'll tell you some stories. I want to use my experience in the castle to kind of help you begin to think about something called old worship. And old worship is a term that I'm going to use, and I'm going to use new worship, and I'll explain new worship in a second. But I'm going to use these terms to try to help us to understand something that is very, very confusing. And old worship refers to the way that many of us were taught, the way that many of us were brought up, the way that many of us understood that the way to worship God, the way to be in a right relationship with God, was to do good things. Most of us, many of us growing up as kids, or you may have attended a church that kind of unofficially communicated this. If you do the right things, and if you go to the right places and you avoid all the bad things, if you do that, then probably the Lord will let you into His eternal resting place. And this concept, I'm calling it old worship today because it's not something that is old to us. It's been going on since the dawn of humanity. People, not people who have entered into a right relationship with God, but other people have understood this concept. Religions have been built up through the years about this concept that if you do good and you don't do bad, then you'll end up in the eternal resting place for whatever God it is that you're supposedly worshiping. And this concept is not new. It's not anything that's just happening today. A lot of people have embraced that today, but this is not something that's going on just in our day. It's been something that's been going on for a long time. So I'm calling it this old worship where what I do makes God love me. The new worship that I want to talk to you about this morning is not new. It's actually the worship that God intended from the very beginning of time. But it's new in the sense that it's not the old. And the new worship is a way to interact with God where it's not based upon the good that you do. It's based upon your faith. It's based upon what you believe about what God has said. So because of that faith, then you are in a relationship with God that is not feasible, that you could not achieve any other way. Old worship is you do enough good, then God's okay with you. New worship is if you have faith, God is okay with you. And the difference that I'm making the distinction from, or the reason that I'm making that distinction, is twofold. One is that we're going to be talking about this concept. Jesus talks to a group of people about the difference between these two types of worships. But another reason why I'm bringing this up today, and probably the more pertinent reason, is because I am convinced that many people still, even though with their mind they think that they are becoming in a right relationship with God because of their faith, they still pull with them ideas from their old worship. They're still trying to get God to love them by doing good. Maybe they don't necessarily say it obviously, maybe they don't say it out loud, but many people still see the reason that they're coming to church every week is because Pastor Forrest is awesome. No, the reason they're coming to church every week is because they want God to be okay with them. It's still very modern that people feel that way. People are saying, I don't want to do anything wrong because I don't want God to be mad at me. It's very relevant. And even people who are in a right relationship with God, who would call themselves believers, still have some of that that goes on in their life today. They still function in many ways like they're in the old worship. They're trying to get God to love them. Yeah, some people, about all the way by the end of their life, they're still wondering, does God really love me? It's just such a heartbreaking thing to hear people say that. Yes, He absolutely loves you, but how could you question that? But they do, because they've seen all the bad things that they've done, and they think there's no way God could love me. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Luke. And Jesus is going to talk about, he doesn't use the terms new worship and old worship. I'm using those to help explain it to you, but you'll see as we go along what Jesus is communicating and how he's talking about. The old worship is not the right way to go. The new worship is the way to go. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, and we're going through a series here in the book of Luke, and we're talking about early scenes from the ministry of Jesus. And this particular conversation where we're picking up today in Luke chapter 5, verses 33 to 38, we're joining a conversation that's already been going on between Jesus and the Pharisees and the scribes. And that in that conversation, Jesus begins to clarify some things for them. And he makes a very important point about the old worship versus the new worship. And the first thing that we're going to see is that this new worship is Jesus. Jesus is the thing that makes the new worship so much better. Why is new worship better than old worship? Jesus is going to explain, because the new worship is Jesus. The old worship doesn't have Jesus involved. The second thing that we're going to see is that the new worship is a part of the journey that God has humanity on. God has been walking man through this journey since the beginning of their time, and it's culminating at this point in time right now. We're on this journey. This new worship is the way for humanity to be in a right relationship with God. And the last thing we're going to see is that this new worship, it jibes. It works. It actually works with the way that life is. So look with me, let's start. The first thing is that this new worship is Jesus. Jesus is the component. And we're going to start at verse 33, and we'll pick up this conversation. But Jesus is going to point out to them that the old worship, the old way of doing things, didn't need Jesus. People were doing things in their own power, in their own way. And Jesus says that's no longer the right way to do it. Verse 33 says this, And they said to him, these are the Pharisees and the scribes, and they said to him, speaking to Jesus, the disciples of John often fast and offer prayers. So what they're doing is they're making a category. They're saying, there are these religious people, the disciples of John, and these guys often pray and fast. Now these questioners have already made a distinction between the two groups in the previous thing. They said, why are you hanging out with sinners and tax collectors, these bad people? They're saying, you guys are doing something bad or wrong from their perspective. And now they're bringing something else out. They're saying, hey, there's this other group of religious people, these people who are disciples of John. They fast and they pray. And then he goes on to point out another group that also does that. And he says, the disciples of the Pharisees also do the same. These are categories of people who are religious. And they're saying, hey, there's a difference here between your disciples, Jesus, and these religious people. They're fasting and praying. But your disciples, the end of verse 33, but yours eat and drink. So the question is that you guys, your disciples, Jesus, are hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. You're hanging out with those people. That something is different there. And on top of it, the religious people, the religious norm, fast and pray, but these guys don't. And the inference is these guys are not really religious. And so there's a question that's raised. And Jesus then answers their question with a question, and he points something out. The times have changed. Verse 34 says this, and Jesus said to them, speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, he says, you cannot make the attendants of the groom fast while the groom is with them, can you? Now, the traditions, the wedding traditions at this time were much different than ours, but they had some kind of a lead up to the wedding where the groom and the bridegroom were in a festive time. And in a modern day, we kind of think of that as the bachelor party. And don't bring in all of the bad stuff that often happens in those, but the idea behind a bachelor party is this is an opportunity for the bridegroom and his attendants to celebrate one last time of being single. It's a festive occasion. And in that moment and in that time, what Jesus is saying, it's not right, it's not proper for them to fast during that joyous occasion, because this is a time of celebrating. And he said, then he goes on in verse 35, he says this, but the days will come when the groom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. So the day will come when the bridegroom will get married to the bride, and they will go on their way, and the relationship between the bridegroom and his all of his buddies will change, because now he will be married. And so the point that Jesus is trying to make here is he's trying to say it's not proper for them to fast and to mourn while the bridegroom is with them. That's something that will happen later. And there are a lot of things that you may have heard or you may have read about what is being taught here, but the basic idea is if you stand back and you hear what Jesus is saying is that it's not right, it's not proper for my disciples to be fasting because I'm here. Jesus is changing the way that it means to be religious. And that's the point that Jesus is making here. He's communicating to them is that what it means to be in a right relationship with God, what it means to be righteous is changing. And the thing that's changing is Jesus. And that's the point of telling them this story or using this illustration of the bridegroom. He's trying to say it doesn't make sense for the bridegroom attendants to be fasting while I'm here because I'm changing the situation. I'm changing the way that people worship God. Let me give you an illustration from this castle that will help you to understand why that's so important. In this castle was originally built in 1895, and it was built by the richest man at that time in Hungary. And so he built this castle for his daughter and her husband, and it's a very beautiful, you could tell for that time period, it was a very beautiful castle, very ornate. When you first walk in, there's a staircase that kind of winds around and goes up to the upper level, and it was patterned after the Paris Opera House. The Paris Opera had this really famous stairway, and so they took that and put it into this castle. So as you walk around this castle, you can see that it was designed for really rich people at that time. It was designed that way. It was designed for that way of life.
But you now fast forward to the year 2025, and that building is primarily used by students, teenagers, and young adults. And so now this staircase is pretty to look at, but it has little things on it to keep people from using it. It's just something to look at. It's not functional, because people will be running up and down those stairs and just making a mess or trashing it. And the idea is as the people who are in that castle have changed, the castle changes as well. The function of the castle changes because of who the castle is for. And that's the idea here with worship. When Jesus came onto the scene, it changed worship. It was the way worship was supposed to always be, which is another thing. We'll talk about it another time. But it changed that way. No longer do men have any reason to try to get right with God because of being good. It doesn't work anymore because something has changed. And the thing that changed was Jesus. So new worship is Jesus. He is what changed this idea of worship. The second thing that we see from these verses, and the second lesson that we learn, is new worship is a journey. This is something that the Lord has been leading them on. And we see that in verse 36. And he was also telling them a parable. In our modern terminology, we understand this to be an extended metaphor, but it's a parable here. It says, and so he was telling them a parable, a story. He says, no one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. He says, no one will go to the store and buy a brand new pair of jeans, rip the jeans, and put that patch on an old pair of jeans. They don't do that. Some jeans are incredibly expensive today. And so it wouldn't make any sense to buy this really expensive pair of jeans and say, I got to fix a hole in my old jeans, and to tear off a patch from your brand new jeans and put it on the old jeans. It doesn't make any sense to do that. No one would do that. And then the last part of the verse says two reasons why you wouldn't do that. Is because if the patch from the new garment will not match the old. He says, otherwise, he will both tear the new, the first reason why you don't, is because you've ruined the new pair. If you've ruined that new garment, you can no longer use that as a new garment. And the patch from the new garment will not match the old. If you put that patch on the old garment, it'll be a different color. It's going to be a different texture, and it's going to be a different wear. It's not going to look right. It's going to be super obvious that that is a patch. It's not going to fit. And the lesson here that's trying to be communicated is if you take the old worship and the old way of doing things, the old way of trying to get to God by your good effort, and you put something new that Jesus is instituting here, the idea of it being by faith, if you take a part of that off and you try to put it on the old garment, it won't match. It doesn't work. And this is why that is so. The reason that it doesn't work is because how the worship that I'm calling new worship works is a man and a woman or a child gets to the place in their life where they realize, I can't do anything to earn God's favor except by faith. And you take that, embrace that, and the response, what naturally happens in a person's mind, is they worship God because thank you, God, for what you've done for me. The response, it's a natural response that happens. But if the person tries to take that idea and put it into the old worship, what happens is they say, great, I am saved because of what I believe, but I still have to do things. And the things that they do become a duty. And it isn't a response of gratitude. It's a response of ought. And you ruin the old and the new. And so what Jesus' point here is that you can't go back to trying to earn God's favor by doing good things. You can't go back to that. You have to stay when you're understanding that this relationship that you have with God is by faith alone, that faith alone will automatically generate within you the desire for gratitude, and your life and your decisions will change. It's a way to kind of illustrate this and help you understand it. Over the week while I was there, I had a chance to talk to one of the people that worked on the building. And he says, what most people don't understand is fixing this castle is very expensive.
It's a very expensive thing to do anything around this castle. And so he explained, the reason is because this castle is a historical marker. And so any work that needs to be done on this castle has to be done using old materials and old techniques. So if you're going to do a repair, it has to be done using materials that would have been used in the time period when the building was built, and it has to be built using methods that people in that time period would have used.
And so he said, what is not understood is that that is very expensive, because there are very few people that know how to construct things the way that they used to. Those methods went out of use a long time ago, and they went out of use because they're not very effective. So most people don't learn how to do it. There are some out there, but there aren't a lot of people out there that know how to do things in the old way. And further, the supplies that you need to use to fix the castle are supplies that are not something you can buy at a store, because those items are no longer used in modern construction. So you have to find somebody who not only knows how to do the old things, but you also have to find materials that are old or similar to the old so that you can make the repair. And the same thing is kind of being communicated here with the worship. The new worship is the worship that God intends for his people to do. But if you try to take that out and you try to put it into the old, it doesn't match. It won't work, and it won't fit. So Jesus is telling these guys that are questioning him is that God has brought humanity on this journey, and this journey has led us to this point. And if you try to go back to worshiping God the way that you used to, it won't match. It doesn't fit with the way that God is working. And then the last thing we see is that it jibes. The new worship, it works. It actually works with the way that our minds and our souls think. And in verse 37, he says this, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled out and the skins will be ruined. He says, no one takes new wine, the new juice that has been squeezed out of grapes, and no one takes that liquid and puts it into an old wineskin. This time period, they weren't using glass bottles to put wine in. They were using hides that were cleaned up and were made watertight. And so they'd put the new wine into the new wineskin, and as the wine expanded because of the fermentation process, the skins would also expand. But if someone were to take that new wine and put it into an old wineskin, the wineskin has already expanded and it won't expand anymore. And what will happen is the wine will be spilled out, it will be ruined, and the wineskin will be ruined. And it will ruin both the old and the new. So Jesus' point here is that the new and the old are incompatible with each other anymore. They don't work together. So he says in verse 38, but new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. It's something that people knew in that day, and they said, oh yeah, that makes sense. And he's saying, this is the same thing with worship. The way that Jesus was introducing the way to worship God by faith is the way that it has to be, and you can't go back into doing things the old way that you were. They don't go together, and if you do that, you'll ruin both. And then Jesus concluded with a sorrowful and a sorrow-inducing statement, talking about the nature of humans, and he said this, and no one, after drinking the old wine, wants the new, for he says, the old is fine. The last word there is sometimes translated good or sometimes translated better. depending upon how you read and understand that word. It can be translated, it can be good, it can be fine, or what is more likely is being talked about is it's easy, which is another way that that word is often translated. And the idea here is that Jesus is saying, people who have lived their lives in that old worship, trying day in and day out to do all the right things and trying to avoid evil in their lives, they get to a point in their life when they have the opportunity to embrace what Jesus is offering, they don't want to do it because this is just fine. It's for them. It's the way they've grown up. It's the way they've understood God. And so they're okay with just staying with they are, where they are. And what Jesus was telling these Pharisees and scribes is that that is what their response was going to be, and it is the response that they had. Even though Jesus was offering them a new way, different than the old, to worship God, they would stick with the old way because they're like, this way is okay. And the question for us, and the thing for us to think about is, are you in some ways keeping this old mindset alive in your life? Are you embracing these ideas of trying to get the right things in order for God to like you? Are you trying to do the good things that you think you need to do in order for God to say you are okay? In order for God to accept you and embrace you as a child? Are you trying to earn His favor? Or do you understand that Jesus has already earned that if you respond in faith? One thing I didn't know about the history of this campground, I learned on this past trip, but I didn't know. One of the history items is that this campground used to be a communist propaganda camp. It was used after World War II by the government of Hungary to bring kids in from all over Hungary to come into this campground, and they were in that time period, they were indoctrinated with the ideas of communism. And it was supposed to be a fun way to kind of convince the young people, the people that were coming up in the society, to embrace communism. What happened in Hungary is that Hungary then moved away from the socialist mindset, and they began to embrace some different mindsets, and this campground fell into disrepair, into disuse. So Word of Life came along, and they said, hey, we'd like to use the campground, and we'd like to put a Christian camp in there. Took a little bit of doing, but eventually they agreed to it, and so Word of Life has a Christian camp on this campground now. No one would want to go back to using the campground as a communist propaganda camp. No one would want to. The old way of what that facility was used for, communism has now made its way out of Hungary completely. Nobody would want to go back to that. Nobody would want to go back to the ideals that were being propagated there. They wouldn't want to do that. No one would want to do that. And that's what Jesus is saying, is trying to tell these guys that were questioning him, and also to tell us, it doesn't make any sense to go back to trying to earn God's favor with your conduct. Rather, embrace what Jesus was offering to them was a way for them to have an intimate relationship with God because of their faith in what Jesus did on their behalf. So the challenge, I think, for us is to look through our lives and to say, are there any ways in which I'm doing things that I'm not doing it because I love God and I just want to? Are there any things in my life that I'm doing because I feel like I have to do it? Are there any things that I'm doing because I'm motivated? I've got to do this in order to stay okay with God. And if there are those things in your life, we've got to figure out a way to move those out of our life and get into that place of pure devotion just because we're grateful for what God has done on our behalf. Challenge for you this week. I want to challenge you to find a way, to think of a way to worship God this week that you have never done before. Find a way to worship God in a way, find a way to communicate your love and adoration for God, but in a way that you've never done it before in the past. So you could go for a walk and talk to God out loud. You could write Him a letter, or you could sing a song in the shower, preferably when no one else is listening. Whatever it is, find some way to worship God, but I want you to do it in a way, some way that you have never done it before. And here's why. Because if you've never done it before, you've probably never done it because you felt like you should. this is now a new opportunity for you to worship God in a way that you just because you want to. So this week, find some way that you can worship God in a way that you have never done it before and do it. And give yourself an opportunity, maybe for the first time, maybe you've already been doing it, but to see what it's like to worship God, not because you have to in this way, not because you're required to, but just because you want to. And see what that worship experience is like.
Well, thank you very much for that message, Pastor Forrest. This is the part of the service where we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. If you did not grab one of these cups on the way in, please raise your hand and we'll make sure that you get one. There's a hand up here, and we'll make sure you get one. You do not need to be a member of this church, but we do ask that you be a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and have been baptized as a sign of your faith. Well, communion is often carrying these overtones of a very heavy, kind of somber mentality. But this morning, I actually want to focus on an aspect that's perhaps unappreciated or underappreciated, is that of celebration and joy. In the passage this morning, it was talked about a wedding feast and the bridegroom. And as we remember the cross, indeed, we have so much to celebrate, so much. When Jesus Christ came, it was the long-awaited fulfillment of a prophecy that beginning back in Genesis 3 that the seed of the woman would come, and finally that had happened. By the time of that the Psalms were written, about 1,000 years before Christ, the second Psalm talked about this anointed one of God who would inherit the earth and rule the nations with a rod of iron. This one, the Christ, is the one who would fulfill the provisions of the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant. All of these things are things that we can celebrate as we look ahead to their fulfillment. We can celebrate the forgiveness of sins. We can celebrate the promise of resurrection and eternal life. We can celebrate the promise of ruling and reigning with Christ on the earth in the coming kingdom when Christ returns. And we can celebrate the promise of an eternal kingdom and the new heaven and new earth, free from sin, pain, suffering, death, and evil forever. We have so much to celebrate. And so today for communion, let's focus on celebrating with joy that Christ on the cross has accomplished so much. And yet we look back to that, and yet there's more to come, so much more. And so we celebrate together, taking the bread. And likewise, the cup, symbolizing the fruit of the vine. Frequently a drink at weddings, certainly in the first century Jewish context it was. And so we celebrate thinking of this future marriage between Christ, who's the groom, and the church, who is the bride. Let's partake together. After this service, if anyone has any questions or would like to talk or pray with someone, I'll be here at the front. I think Pastor Forrest will as well. And so if you desire any of those, please come and find us, and we would be happy to meet with you. If you would, please rise for the benediction. This is from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week.